special prayers for them, but we are just grateful that you are here tonight, and don't take a role as to who is not here, okay? We're grateful for those of you that might be visiting with us tonight. We're truly appreciative of your presence. We know you could be many places, but you're here, and we're grateful for that. And so we want to thank you for coming our way. And want to impose upon you just a little bit. If you look in the back of the pew in front of you, you should see a blue card. If you can fill that out for us and just drop it in the collection plate when it passes through, then that'll give us a record of your visit with us. We don't take your visit for granted. We know you can be, again, many places, but you're here. I know I was looking for some of our well-dressed singles out in the audience. I see a couple of them, but we're grateful that God has brought them back safely to us. They got one really nice van that they drove in, and brothers tell me that you could actually stand up in that van. So it's been a long time since I've been single, so I guess that's what single folk do. They ride down the road standing up. We're just grateful that God has blessed them. I talked to Brother Patrick, and he had a wonderful time, and so we're just grateful that they're back home safe and sound. Truly, we're grateful for Brother Lugo this morning, speaking of both services. Truly, it's always a pleasure to be in his company and all the challenging ways that he lay in front of us. We want to keep his wife in our prayers. I took him out to lunch, and they were saying that she is still a little under the weather, so we want to keep him and as well as his wife and family in our prayers, that God will bless her to get back to normal health. We want to keep Brother Shelton in our prayers as well, and his family as they continue to be away from us, that God will bless them and bring them back home to us as well safely. So we're just grateful for the partnership and ministry here at Greenville Avenue. If you are following our theme for this particular quarter, again, we're talking about his prophetic parables. Those parables, if you will, that bring out the prophetical nature of God's scheme of redemption, his purpose, his plan for us. I'm amazed at how Jesus can say in such few words, phrases that will captivate us for the rest of our lives. And we want to look at that a little bit tonight, so far as this wonderful sayings that he has, that casting alongside, that brings such clarity to our walk in Christ. We're studying on Sunday mornings in the adult Bible class in the auditorium. We're studying the idea of the book of Matthew. Our lesson today, we just concluded the Sermon on the Mount. We started with the first part of the sermon last week, and then we wrapped up this morning, again, the Sermon on the Mount, the Magna Carta of the Christian faith. And I want to use it kind of as a springboard to go into our lesson for tonight, because in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, we really see the words of Jesus, those incredible words that at the end of it, folk were really impressed. And they had been used to being taught by the scribes and the Pharisees and others, but when Jesus finished his words, they were astonished, because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes had done in the past. But then you get into chapter 8, then you begin to see not only you see the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but in chapter 8 you begin to see the works of Jesus, all the incredible miracles that our Lord will launch on. So in chapter 5, 6, and 7 you have his words, and those words you cannot confront them, you cannot dodge them, you cannot undermine them. And then to show the power of Christ, he comes back in chapter 8 of Matthew, and he begins to lay out the idea of his miracles. And throughout this particular chapter, you have 8 deeds that Jesus will undertake, and we are blown away with those particular deeds or those works that he does in chapter 8 of Matthew. And then we get into chapter 9, like we had last week, last Sunday night, and we're talking about this, these in quick succession parables that Jesus throws out. The idea of the physician, the idea of the bridegroom that we focused in on last week, the idea of the cloth, and also the idea of the wineskin. I was reading one particular commentary, and it says that when you talk about the physician, you're talking about spiritual health. When you're talking about the bridegroom, you're talking about spiritual joy. When you're talking about the cloth, you're talking about spiritual wholeness. And then when you're talking about the wineskins, you're talking about spiritual fullness. It truly, that's a wonderful concept in these parables that Jesus just rattles off so quickly. And you and I will spend the rest of our lives trying to understand and live out. That was chapter 9. Tonight, I want to focus in on another section in the book of Matthew that Jesus just throws out parables that just leave us just scratching our head. And we're so grateful that the apostles or the disciples were there with him because they didn't understand them either. And they ask him, Lord, will you explain it? You know, you talk to the multitude and they go away scratching their heads, but they don't have the personal relationship that we have with you. Lord, will you explain it to us? We're kind of deep. We're kind of dense. We're kind of withdrawn. We don't have a clue what you just said. He starts off the parables in chapter 13 with the parable of the sower. And you begin to see Jesus now will lay out eight parables, eight works in Matthew 9. And now we get to chapter 13. There are eight parables that Jesus will lay out. All of these are so familiar with us, the parable of the sower. Jesus himself, when he gives a parable, oftentimes he will use a lot of the particulars in that parable just to color the parable. But in the parable of the sower, he goes deeper. And he said, let me tell you what the different soils are. Let me tell you what the seed is. And then we understand a greater understanding of that particular parable. But I want to focus in on just one out of this quick succession of parables, one that have always impressed me. And that is the parable of the mustard seed. Brother Lugo, this morning as we were going out, he didn't mention it in the first service, but the second service he talked about the mustard seed. And so as we were walking up to shake hands out in the lobby, I said, Brother, you just kind of infringed upon my lesson for tonight. And so because when he said the mustard seed, boy, my ears perked up. I said, okay, you know, I'm sure he's going to say something that's going to be helpful as I continue to put together the lesson for tonight. And sure enough, he did. The parable of the mustard seed. I think it was a few weeks ago that we as a congregation passed out mustard seeds. Y'all remember that? Two people gave me one, and so I have two of them. And I lay them on the counter at home. And I always, when I walk by, I want to be reminded of the size of the mustard seed. And I thought, well, I'm going to bring the mustard seed for an illustration tonight. And I'm going to bring, because it's in quick succession with the leaven or the yeast. I said, I'm going to bring some packets of yeast so you can see the point that Jesus is making with the smallness of the mustard seed and the smallness of the leaven or the yeast compared to the flour that the yeast will go in. So this morning I talked to an expert. I said, because Jesus gives this comparison about leaven, and he says how a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so I asked this baker, I said, when you're cooking a loaf of bread, how much flour do you typically use? And she looked at me and said, why? And I said, I'm just curious. And I said, she said, about 5 cups. And so she has a startled look on her face. And I said, well, how much yeast do you use? And she said, why? I mean, is it a secret? I mean, just a little bit. And so what I'm understanding is you have 5 cups of flour, and you have one of the little packets of yeast, and that's sufficient. That little yeast touches all of those 5 cups of flour that will yield a loaf of bread. When I think about the mustard seed, I went back and did some reading on it. It is small. I mean, it's about the size of a pen, I guess. And I found that there's two kinds of mustard seeds, at least probably several, but there's the yellow mustard seed, and then there's the black mustard seed. And they're used for different things. And they even have influences or impacts on our health, depending on the mustard seed that you use in medicine. But Jesus says something here that's kind of interesting to me. when he talks about the mustard seed, he says that it's in verse number 31 of Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, one little grain, which a man took and sowed it in his field, which indeed the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So I'm asking myself, from this tiny little mustard seed that I have on the counter to a tree, it starts here and it ends up here. And I was asking myself, how big will that tree get? And from the researchers, they're saying that it could grow from anywhere to 6 feet to 20 feet. The umbrella of that particular branch could be up to 20 feet. 20 feet umbrella of a tree to 6 to 20 feet high, coming from a little old seed. Jesus said, this is a parable about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, the disciples are not able to do what folk thought they should do. And if you have that, if you would, just flip over to Matthew chapter 17, because Jesus says something here in regard to mustard seed that I think is extremely important to us, and it's profound. He says in Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 20, well, verse 19 said, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and asked and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus' response in verse number 20, listen to him carefully. He says, because of your unbelief. Or another translation says, because of your little faith. For verily I say unto you, if you had or have the faith of as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. A similar thought is over in Luke chapter 17, and this is in verse number 6. Again, just building a case here for some thoughts that I want to share with you, and the lesson is yours. In Matthew, in Luke 17, verse number 6. Let's read verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, give us a bigger seed. Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine, or another translation says mulberry tree, be that you plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the ocean, and it should obey you. One of the observations that Brother Lugo mentioned this morning, I think, is right on target. Are we really talking about a minimized faith, or are we talking about the quality or the purity of our faith? Jesus is not saying take a mustard seed or take a pumpkin seed and cut it into 10 pieces until you get down to the size of a mustard seed. No, that mustard seed is what it is. It's a mustard seed. And that mustard seed, when it is planted, you can expect that it's going to produce a tree 6 to 20 feet tall. The mustard seed itself says to us, don't look at my size. Don't look at my, don't compare me, if you will, to a pumpkin seed or watermelon seed or sunflower seed. As Popeye used to say, I am what I am. I'm a mustard seed. Don't look at my end result by my present standing. I produce trees. That's what I do. And so Jesus says, if you have the faith like a mustard seed, you're going to produce what? Trees. It's the quality of faith. It's the purity of faith. It's the confines of faith. And so if we have that kind of faith, and that faith comes, Paul says, by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that's the kind of thing that will produce the kind of faith that's likened unto a mustard seed. A couple of thoughts. Some scholars say that when you're planting a mustard seed, you must not, should not plant it close to a cistern or to some kind of a septic system. And the reason for that is that once this mustard seed goes into the ground, it begins to look for moisture. You plant it, you water it for the first year, and then you don't water it for a while. And what that does, that forces that mustard seed to really use that tap root to go down and find where the water stream is. And once it connects to that, oh, it brings it up. And next thing you know, you got a 6 to 20 foot tree from this little mustard seed. The disciples scratched their heads and they said, Lord, help us to understand. Help us to understand. You're rolling these parables off and we can't get them fast enough. Explain them to us. As Jesus says in Matthew 13, verse 11, let me tell you something about parables. And this will be the theme for this last quarter. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 11, watch the different things that parables, prophetic parables, will do. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. You and I, because of the prophetical parables, are given the blessing of having insight into the domain of the king. We can understand the kingdom of God. And what we just found out is that there is a certain kind of faith that will produce beyond our wildest imagination, but it has to be likened unto the mustard seed. Watch this. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever have not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Sounds like the parables of the talents. Fella had five. Because he exercised those five, he got five more. And the fellow that had one, and he didn't exercise the one, guess what? He lost that one, and that one went to the one that had the five. The parables. It will do us good to be taught by the parables, because, again, it's going to help us to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and it's going to increase that which we have and not take away and us not have it. Verse number 13. Therefore, speak I unto them in parables, because they sin not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So parables, if we get them, they will help in our understanding of the kingdom of God. Verse number 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, but not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus goes on and teaches here, verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for ye shall see, and your ears, for they hear. And lastly, verse number 17, before we get to the lesson tonight. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. I think about what Paul says in Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20. In fact, we have a little time, right? The nursery room doesn't start for about 35 minutes. So turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 for just a hot second or a cool minute. In 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to what our brother Peter says in regard to what Matthew just mentioned. In 1 Peter, when you begin to look at chapter 1, verse number 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesies of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should not follow. These prophets had the Spirit of Messiah in them, but they did not fully understand the total layout of God's redemptive plan. But you and I see it. We're on this side of the fulfillment of the messianic promises throughout the Old Testament. Brethren, I see that as a tremendous blessing for us today. You and I are blessed, and these parables help us to see that prophetic nature of the things of God. Three things in regard to this parable of the mustard seed. It's a small seed, doesn't mean it's going to be a small or short sermon, okay? The parable of the mustard seed in verse number 31 and 32. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Three thoughts. Number one, the beginning of this process has a start. It doesn't start with a 20-foot tree. It doesn't start even with the owner planting it in good ground. It starts back here with the quality of the seed itself. Think about that for a moment. So when we talk about a mustard seed, we're not talking about how big it's going to grow. Before it gets that big, you have to make sure you have what? The right seed. Because if you plant a watermelon seed, because it's bigger than a mustard seed, you would think you'd get a tree four times the size of a mustard tree. That's not true. The watermelon seed will just produce a vine that grows along the ground. But a mustard seed has a start. And a lot of times the start of something does not in any way look like the end product. We had to share a few weeks ago, and we had three preachers talk about the three dispensations. And there is the patriarchal dispensation. When God talked to the fathers, Adam, Abraham, and those. And then he goes over to the Mosaical dispensation. And then he talks to Moses, and he builds him a nation, and he begins to codify the laws that had been already given. And then we move into the Christian dispensation. And so I used a parable. The folk at the share, they didn't appreciate it, so I'm glad you all do tonight. So I said, let me use a parable to help us see the consistency of this particular three-dimensional aspect so far as the dispensations are concerned. And I use the illustration of the Mississippi River. And some of you go, oh, that's what he meant? Okay. If you go to the Gulf of Mexico, and you stand there as you see the mighty Mississippi pour into the Gulf, you'll be blown away. If you go up around St. Louis and Iowa and different places where the mighty Mississippi is earning its name, or when the flood time comes, it takes anything in its path. It's just, it's in incredibly strong. You go to Memphis, Tennessee, cross over Interstate 40, going into Memphis, and you look down and you see the mighty Mississippi. You're way up in the air, and that river seemed like it's just right there. But that's not the start. To get the start, you have to go back to Minneapolis, Minnesota, where this mighty Mississippi has her start. It's very insignificant. Not that big of a deal. You look at it and you go, that's the Mississippi River? I could drink that water on a Sunday afternoon. Not that big of a deal. Jesus is simply saying here, I'm going to tell you something about the kingdom. If you have the right start, if you have the right seed, we're not going to debate about the size of all of that. Do you have the right one? If your faith, if the kingdom is built on the word of God, let me tell you, don't be surprised when all of a sudden birds start lodging in your tree, because that's what this kind of faith will produce. So it has a start, like the mighty Mississippi. And I thought about that, and I think about we as a congregation. We here at Greenville Avenue, we're somehow resting in much of the trees. But Greenville Avenue is not the start of Greenville Avenue. Well, what about Hamilton Park? When Hamilton Park was not the start of Greenville Avenue, what was the start, I understand, is like a place like Willowdale. That started Greenville Avenue, but it had the right kind of start, and so it grew to Hamilton Park, and it grew to Greenville Avenue. But if you look back at the beginning of it, oh, it doesn't even compare. But we have something consistent, and that is the faith and the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Christ. So we can be surprised, but you know, the reality of it is if you plant the right mustard seed, guess what? It's going to produce a 20-foot tree. If you plant the word of God, don't be surprised at what it produces, because God says, my word will not return unto me void. So Greenville Avenue, we're the product, if you will, of the mustard seed faith that started back over there on Willowdale. It's not the seed that is small. It's not the size of the seed, but it's the quality of the seed that is planted. Number two, not only it has a start, but secondly, it's the effect or the effort of this particular seed. It says in verse number 31, the kingdom is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man, watch the effort, took, and what did he do? Sowed it in his field. If that mustard seed had stayed on the shelf, there will be no 20-foot tree. There is an effort that has to take place with the mustard seed. It has to be planted. No mustard seed is going to grow to 6 to 20 feet with a 20-foot umbrella that's not planted. Just will not happen. And so as we talk about this mustard seed parable, as we talk about the prophetical nature of that, how God in his wisdom saw the kind of people he wanted in his kingdom, God knew that if that mustard seed was planted in the hearts and the minds of men and women, that you'll have all kinds of big trees that people will land in and be blessed by. We'll produce a lot of shade for people that are hot and bothered. The effort. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body. And in this body, we have all of these different members. And the goal of the body is for the securing of the body and the enhancing and the support and the strength of the body, helping one another. And when we do that, that's like planting. A good example, a good work, a good measure, a good service. And if we plant that, if we cultivate that, then all of a sudden you're going to see tremendous growth. And the final thought tonight, not only is it about the idea of the seed itself or its start, not only is it about the effort of planting it, but lastly, and this is one that's so much fun, and that is its potential. Did you think that when the seed of humanity was given, that now we would end up, I got a number here, in 2019, the projected amount is 7.7 billion people. I think all of them on the expressway when you go to work in the morning. All 7.7 billion. Do you realize where they came from? One person. His name is Adam. God knows how to take a seed that is so small, so insignificant. Adam was born, Adam was created, Adam was made, and he had no capacity to produce nothing because he was all by himself. But with God, next thing you know, we have 7.7 billion people from one person. From one person. You have the patriarchal period. You look at that and you go, boy, this is kind of weird. He's talking to Adam. He's talking to Abraham. He's talking to these one-on-one people. And the next thing you know is that we have a kingdom that's not just in the Middle East, but it's throughout the whole world. It started with a conversation with Adam in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's good. That's God. That's what he does. You look at Greenville Avenue. God started over here, a little old house church, from what my understanding. I wasn't here. But all of a sudden, at this little house church, the word was preached. Folks served, and they taught, and they baptized people. And the next thing you know, here we are. Just by what happened back over there. Mustard seed. Its start, its effort, and its potential. What are you saying, preacher? You and I look at sometimes at our lives. We look at sometimes at what we're doing or what we don't think we can do. We're just like the disciples. We ask for God to increase our faith. And sometimes God can increase our faith and we still don't get the job done. Because I think sometimes we're looking at the size and not the quality. See a lot of people building and trying to build a marriage. And they're looking at, I want, even the state of Texas say, if you get 8 hours of premarital training, we will write off your marriage fee, your license fee. And so some people, they get 8, 10, 12, 15 hours and divorce 3 weeks after the wedding is over. Is it the size? Is it really about the hours? Or is it really about the quality? Brother Lugo said, somebody kind of got offended with him using it. Illustration is more about a fellow beating up his wife. And somebody took him and said, do you believe? And they said, no, I'm a preacher. I'm just using it as an illustration. You know, we have to be real clear on what the seed is so far as building healthy relationships. And if we can put that kind of a mustard seed in relationships, amen, don't be surprised if you're coming out of some kind of a dysfunctional family. Next thing you know, you have a tree that's 20 feet tall and birds are landing in the foliage. How can folk look at me? We have members in this congregation coming out of a horrible relationship, but all of a sudden they planted a mustard seed. And that quality, all of a sudden now, they're the go-to people. So for as an example for marriage, with God, all things are possible. Amen. It's not necessarily the size. I don't want a pumpkin seed. I don't think pumpkins grow 20 feet tall. I don't want a watermelon seed. Because the watermelon, they're not going to grow at all. They just kind of, you know, grow along the line. You won't know where they are until you try to cut your yard. You hear something go, boosh, you just ran over one, okay? I want a mustard seed because of the purity, the focus, the sufficiency of that seed. It says, I don't compete with watermelon seeds. I don't compete with pumpkin seeds. I'm a mustard seed. And let me tell you what I do. I grow 20 feet. I want to make a mustard sunflower seed. Yeah, Brother Lugo mentioned that. No, I don't commingle. I'm a mustard seed. That's what I do. Well, when I want a mustard seed that kind of has different flowers coming out of it. No, you need to go get a dandelion seed. I'm just a mustard seed. Brethren, when it comes to building the kingdom, we have to use that mustard seed, the quality. And when we do that, don't be surprised if all of a sudden you become a receptacle of folk coming to you for shelter. That's the power of being a Christian. And that's some insight into the kingdom of God from these prophetic parables. Jesus talked about them 2,000 years ago, and you and I are here reaping the benefit of building our lives with that mustard seed experience. Don't be surprised if you grow to be 20 feet tall, and now you become shelter for others. You become a respite for birds flying south for the winter or coming back north for the summer. They stop by your place because of God blessing you with the mustard seed kind of life. How about you tonight? Well, you don't understand, preacher. I'm a farmer. I've been planting cotton seed, and they only grow about 3 feet tall. I planted some sunflower seeds. They grew about 8 feet tall with big ones, but you know, all of a sudden they died, and the sunflowers weren't that good either. You can't get a mustard tree from sunflower seeds. God says, "Let me lay it out for you." And if you take this and you plant it in your heart, the kingdom of God will grow and expand. I think that is true for us individually, for us as a congregation, or us as the kingdom of God. Let's just plant the right quality seed and look out for growth. Hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess the great name. Yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you and I are so blessed to be here now to see the fulfillment Amen. Of all these prophetical statements that was from the life of Christ and even before. Go down to the water grave of baptism, trust in the Lord. God, I don't want big faith, I want mustard seed faith. I want the kind of faith that's going to produce a 20-foot Amen. Tree with 20 feet of foliage so I can be a covering for others, that I can be a blessing to others, just like Jesus is that big tree that you and I take our refuge in. If you're here subject to heaven's invitation in any way, would you please come? We're together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Oh, each victory help you. Some others to win. You've got to fight. Land fully on word dark passion.